Yes, it's George Burns and Gracie Allen. Well, it seems that Gracie went to the beauty shop this morning and hasn't returned yet. Sugarthroat, alone in the house, is engaged in his favorite pastime. Guess what?
I ain't got no nobody, baby. As nobody cares for me. I'm so sad and lonely, baby. What life? Take a chance with me. Oh, hello.
Hello. I heard the singing as I came up the walk. Is Bing Crosby's program still on?
That wasn't Crosby singing. That was me.
Oh, go on. It was Crosby.
Honest, it was me. I'll show you. I ain't got no nobody, baby.
My goodness, you're getting to sound more like Bing Crosby every day.
I know. I've got to practice more. I'm slipping. Where have you been all morning?
At the beauty shop with Blanche Martin. Oh, George, she was telling me about the night she married Harry. He was so innocent and naive.
What happened?
Well, wait till I tell you.
Yeah?
He sure wasn't as smart as you were.
Well, tell me fast, what did he do?
He paid for the marriage license.
I was a little short that week. I had to put new taps on my shoes.
But, dear, how do you like my hair?
Oh, it's beautiful.
We went to a new beauty shop called Francois.
Sounds classy.
Oh, it is. When you walk in, Francois bows and kisses your hand. And then he takes you to a booth and personally creates a hairstyle just for you.
I'll bet Francois expects plenty in return for all this service.
Well, sure. When I left there, stood Francois with his hand out.
Naturally.
So what could I do? I kissed it.
You kissed it?
Mm-hmm. Francois looked surprised. I guess most American women don't know what to do.
Yeah, but they can't make him too continental for you, kid.
You know, I ran into lots of friends at the beauty shop. Mary Livingston was there getting a dye job, and
Hold it, Gracie, you shouldn't tell things like that. I'm sure Mary wouldn't want her friends to find out.
Well, they know about it.
Does Jack Benny know?
Well, he ought to. It was his hair.
I should have guessed.
Well, you know, there's a beautiful manicurist at the shop. She was telling me about her dates. And poor Bill Goodwin, were his ears burning?
I'll bet.
He was sitting under an awfully hot dryer.
Well, they certainly did a nice job on you, honey. I've never seen your hair so curly.
Well, it should be curly. I had two permanents.
Why two?
Well, when they finished the first one, I was only halfway through the magazine I was reading.
So you paid $20 for another permanent? Why didn't you go to a newsstand and buy the magazine?
Well, why waste that money? At the beauty shop, I read it for nothing.
For nothing, I say.
Oh, it was a wonderful magazine. It has all the latest news and gossip. It's called Dirt.
Dirt?
Mm-hmm. Guess you haven't heard of it. It's more of a woman's magazine.
It sounds like it.
It doesn't name any names. It just gives you hints. But if you're real smart, you can figure them out. So naturally, I didn't have any trouble.
Naturally not.
Well, for example, here's one hint it gave. What famous Swedish star, whose name begins with B-E-R-G, is practically inseparable from what celebrity of another nationality?
Very hard to figure out.
But I did it. It's Bergen and McCarthy.
You're too smart for him, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Look, from now on, do your reading at the public library. It's better and cheaper.
The public library?
Yeah, that's that large building near the post office.
Yeah, I know where it is. I ought to. You stood me up there one night.
I did?
You and Georgie Jessel. We had dinner at his house, and after dinner he said, Gracie, we'll meet you in the library for coffee.
So that's where you live.
I know
you did. I did, too. I didn't know what happened to you. You see, the public library is strictly a place where they keep books, and I wish you'd start reading them. That's the best way in the world to improve your mind.
All right, George. After I've had something to eat and changed my clothes, I'll go over there. But just between you and me, do you think my mind can stand improvement?
I wouldn't even wait to change clothes. I'd go now.
Are you the librarian?
Yes, I am. May I help you?
Well, I'd like to read a book, please. You better call a plumber. I hear steam escaping.
It's not the plumbing. It's those people at the tables.
Oh, well, then you better call a doctor.
We'll have to make our voices lower.
All right, let's sit down. They must be reading hot books.
Let's step back here where we won't disturb them.
All right.
Now we can speak up. So you'd like to read a book. Anything in particular?
No, whatever's popular with other women.
Right now, most women are taking out the Egyptians.
Well, I'm married. I better just read a book. Now, I like to eat candy while I read, so I want a book that'll run about a half a pound of assorted chocolate.
I'll do the best I can. Here's a very popular book, Rage to Live by John O'Hara.
How many pages?
About 350.
Haven't you got something less fattening?
What type of book would you like? Historical, biographical, documentary, current, past, fiction, nonfiction?
That'll be fine.
You'll have to make a choice.
Oh, here's a cute little book.
That's the new pocket dictionary.
Oh, go on. It's too dark to read in a pocket.
Madam, please tell me what you'd like.
Well, what do you like?
Personally, I'm very fond of Ernest Hemingway.
Is he better looking than the Egyptian?
I'm fond of his books.
You know, my husband likes mystery stories. But he won't spend any money on books. He borrows them. He reads those real scary ones.
Poe?
No, he's got plenty. He just won't spend it.
I have to get back to my desk. If you find anything you like, just let me know.
Back from the library so soon, Grayson?
Mm-hmm. And here's the book I got.
Let's see it. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. Say, this is a good book. Oh, the librarian suggested it, huh?
No, I picked it out myself.
Gracie, I can't believe it.
Well, I did.
Darling, I'm proud of you. This is a wonderful book.
Sure, the color matches my new hat.
In other words, you don't care what's between the covers.
Well, of course I care what's between the covers. I'm crazy about you, George.
Thanks. I'll bet you don't even know who Dale Carnegie is.
I certainly do. He's that rich man who carries his money in his girdle.
Carries his money in his girdle?
Well, I read that there's millions of dollars in the Carnegie Foundation. Yes.
That's a different Carnegie. Have you read any of this book?
Well, I read a little of it on the way home.
You shouldn't read while you're walking. You're liable to fall into a manhole.
Oh, George, I'm not that dumb. I didn't read it while I was walking.
Good.
I was driving.
You read this book while... Do you realize you could be arrested for that?
Oh, it's that kind of a book, huh?
No, honey. This book tells you how to solve your worries. See, right here, it gives you the formula. First, ask yourself, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? And second, you prepare yourself to meet it.
Well, I'll try that. Let's see now. The worst thing that could happen would be if you left me. How could I meet it?
Yes.
Well, I guess I'd have to marry someone like Charles Boyer or Gregory Peck. Well, gee, this book really works. I'm not worried at all now.
Read the book. It'll do you lots of good.
Well, it looks very interesting. Listen to the title of this chapter, George. If you have a lemon, make lemonade.
That's good advice, Gracie.
But without sugar, it'll be sour.
No, it means if you have bad luck, make the best of it.
Well, you'll have better luck if you put sugar in it.
Read the book. I'm going in the den and run through a few tunes.
Well, Gracie, let's get busy and read this book. All right. Look what it says here. Worry kills more people than automobiles. Well, I guess automobiles are harder to kill. And it also says that everybody worries. And Gracie, it's up to you to stop them. All right, I'll do it. And I'll help you. Gracie, there's someone at the door. Answer it. Why don't you answer it? Well, let's both answer it. Come in.
Hi, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill. Sit down. I want to have a little talk with you.
Okay, Gracie.
Bill, you mustn't worry. Now, make the best of things. If you have a lemon, make a lemonade.
What if you got a broken leg?
Sit down while you make the lemonade.
Well, I'll do that the next time I got a lemon and a broken leg.
Good. Do you know that worry can make you old and gray? That it can leave you wrinkled and stooped?
Oh, sure it can. By the way, where is George? He said he wanted to talk to me.
Oh, he's in the den. But before you talk to him, I just want to tell you not to worry. No matter what happens, don't worry.
Well, why should I worry? Gracie, do you know something that I don't know?
Well, I certainly do, Bill. And I want to help you. Now, let's take the worst thing that could happen. Let's say you lose your job.
Lose my job? So that's it.
Yes. Now, how will you meet this? What will you do?
Well, what can I do? I'll have to go to the unemployment office and collect $25 a week. Gee, what'll I do with all that extra money?
Feel better now, Bill?
No, I don't, Gracie. It's the dishonor and disgrace of being fired after all these years. For 10 years, I've faced George across a microphone. And now, just when I'm getting so I can take it, he lets me go.
Now, Bill, you mustn't worry.
For 10 years, I've been a faithful announcer for George. I've held my sides when he told his jokes and my nose when he sang. Oh, I'll admit I'm no Don Wilson. On my salary, who can buy that much food? Well, he can't do this to me. Excuse me, Gracie.
All right, Bill, get a load of this.
I ain't got nobody.
You ain't got no voice either.
What?
You heard me. You sound like a goat that swallowed a tin can with the lid open.
Well, this is the boss you're talking to.
Not anymore. I quit. Goodbye.
What in the world got into him? I never saw him so mad before in my life.
George, what happened?
Bill Goodwin just quit. I can't understand it. It's got me worried.
Well, it looks like I got this book just in time.
George and Gracie will return in just a moment.
I can't understand why Bill Goodwin quit. It just knocks me for a loop. We've been together for 10 years.
George, how can you worry when I've got Dale Carnegie's book right here?
Does that book tell you where to get another announcer as good as Bill?
Well, wait a minute. I'll look through it. Would that be listed under A, another announcer, or G, good as Bill?
F, forget it. Bill's so mad at me. I tried to talk to him just now, and he hung the receiver up in my ear.
You turn your head. I'll help you get it out there.
I like it there. Darn it, I hate to lose Bill. He's a wonderful announcer. Everybody likes him, especially the women. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Yeah, and it's a different one every night.
What could he be sore about?
George, Mr. Carnegie's book says that you shouldn't worry about something that's already done. Chapter 11 says, don't try to saw sawdust.
I'll remember that.
Of course, that's not a new idea. I've had that in my head for years.
Look, why don't you take the book and go into the other room?
But, George, it can help you. You know, I'll bet Dale Carnegie got the idea for this book from my family. My family just never worries.
And they had something to worry about.
Well, sure. My brother Willie had a frozen foot, but he didn't worry.
Willie, he was the door-to-door salesman, wasn't
he? Yes, that's how he froze his foot.
What's that?
Oh, that's how he froze his foot. Force of habit.
Force of habit?
Yeah, every time he opened the refrigerator, he stuck his foot
in the
door.
Gracie, even after that story, I'm still worried about Bill.
Of course, the one who really never worried was my Uncle Charlie. Would you like to hear about my Uncle Charlie? He was a bookkeeper, but he never worried. He used to say, worry today and gone tomorrow because it's a long road that has no turning when you burn your bridges behind you and tomorrow may bring another day.
I can't wait to sign up Uncle Charlie. Is he still a bookkeeper?
No, they fired him. He talked too much.
Maybe I ought to offer Bill a raise.
You're still worried, huh?
I am.
Now, you take my sister Bessie.
No, thanks.
Bessie never, never worried. She was all set to elope with a man, but his ladder wouldn't reach the third floor. So the man eloped with a girl on the second floor.
But that didn't worry Bessie.
No, she just fell in love with a man who had a taller ladder.
Look, Gracie.
To be like Bessie, don't worry.
Yes, I'll just find an announcer with a taller ladder.
Have I straightened you out, dear?
Like a board.
Where are you going?
Over to Bill Goodwin's apartment. Maybe I can reason with him.
Do you want to take this book with you?
No, thanks.
Well, if you have any trouble, just think of my family. They had something, George. Something different.
I know. I married it. See you later, dear.
Glad you dropped by, Gracie.
Blanche, I just had to tell you about the marvelous new book I'm reading. It's called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living.
Oh, well, sit down and tell me about it, Gracie. Harry's working late at the office tonight.
Well, Blanche, now, thanks to this book, nothing can worry me. Now, let's say, for instance, that George was working late tonight. And let's say that he had a beautiful blonde secretary like Harry. Well, that wouldn't worry me for 1 minute.
Do you really think Harry's secretary's beautiful?
Terrific. But as I was saying,
she does have a nice figure.
Well, she just happens to have the kind of a figure that men like. You know, gorgeous. But as I was saying,
Harry's alone with her right now. Probably chasing her around the desk.
Well, if it were George chasing her, I wouldn't worry at all.
Neither would I, but my husband can catch her.
Blanche, are you worried about Harry?
I certainly am.
Oh, what a lucky thing I happened to stop by. I can tell you how to stop worrying.
Well, let's have it.
All right. Now, just think of the worst thing that can happen. Harry runs away with the blonde. Now, feel better?
No.
Blanche, you're fighting me.
Gracie, I've been married to that man for 22 years, and now he wants to leave me for a blonde. He's tired of me.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. In another 22 years, he'll get tired of the blonde and come back to you. So let her worry. Isn't it wonderful when you know how to meet your problem?
Yeah. When mine comes home, I'm going to meet him with an aluminum roaster.
Yeah, that's the idea, Blanche. Cook him something. Does Harry like roast aluminum?
I'll let you know. Oh, Gracie, I just heard Harry come in the back door. You better leave.
All right. I'm glad I was able to help you, Blanche. Goodbye.
Wait till I get my hands on that weasel.
Well, Blanche, I finished my work earlier than I expect. Where are you going?
Upstairs to pack my bag. I'm going home to Mother.
Well, don't take the evening paper. I haven't read it.
You beast. Telling me you were working at the office.
I was, but it didn't take me long. I caught up early.
she couldn't run fast tonight, huh?
Who couldn't?
That blonde secretary, you worm. When I was a blonde, you said you liked brunettes.
Blanche, are you kidding? That blonde secretary hasn't been with me for 3 months. She married the accountant.
Really?
Sure.
But Gracie said...
Oh,
that...
so Gracie was here. I should have known.
You don't understand. Gracie read a book on worry.
Read it? That woman wrote it. I tell you, Blanche, she's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, she is not.
She's already got that poor vegetable man talking to himself. When he asked her to buy an eggplant, she wanted to know how many hens were working in it. I'm going to find George and have a showdown with him. I say Gracie ought to stay home with her husband.
If you had that husband, would you stay home?
Certainly.
Well, I wouldn't. I'd take him back to the judge who married me, and I'd say, look, I know I took him for better or worse, but this is ridiculous.
I'll see you later. I'm going to find George.
Phil, you've got to come back on my show.
Oh, no. When I quit, I meant it.
Well, what'll I do without you? Get Don Wilson, get Harlow Wilcox, get Ken Carpenter, get Harry Von Zell. Maybe the four of them together can take my place. Now, suppose you tell me why you quit.
Well, Gracie said you were going to fire me.
Gracie said that?
Well, yeah. She said, don't worry, if George fires you...
Oh, wait a minute. That book on worry. I'm beginning to understand now. Yes. Come in.
Listen, George, are you going to keep your wife at home, or am I going to flatten your nose?
Oh, just a minute, Harry. I won't take that from any man.
No?
No. I'm going to keep my wife at home. Harry, what did Gracie do?
I don't know exactly, Bill. Blanche said something about a book on worry.
Oh, again with that worry routine, I see.
You've got to keep her at home, George.
Yeah, but how? In the old days, a man was the master. He could lock his wife up. Wish I'd have been married 100 years ago.
Why weren't you? Couldn't you find a pretty girl?
I take back the raise. Wait a minute, I think I've got an idea. I'll give Gracie a dose of her own medicine.
You mean worry her?
Yeah, I'll teach her a lesson.
Do you want us to help you?
Oh, no, Bill. Thanks. I know how to worry her. I'm married to her.
Well, that ought to do it, if anything, Will.
So long, fellas.
Oh, hello, George. I just finished the last chapter of this book.
Oh, good. Sit down, Gracie. I've got some news for you. I just came from the doctor's office.
Really?
Yeah. He examined me for insurance.
Oh? Did he find any?
You don't understand, Gracie. I went to the doctor to have a physical examination.
Why did you do that?
To take out an annuity.
Will that leave much of a scar?
An annuity is an insurance policy.
Oh, good heavens. When did you swallow
I didn't
that?
Swallow any. I want to buy some more insurance.
Oh.
But the doctor turned me down.
Why?
Bad heart.
Then go to a doctor who's got a good heart. George, you worry too much. You ought to read this book.
Well, that takes care of the doctor. I'm in love with a woman.
What?
Yeah, she's young, seductive woman with a beautiful face and a gorgeous figure.
Oh, George, you scared me for a minute. I thought it wasn't me.
That's the end of routine number two. Remember that $5,000 we saved up and I bought some stock with it?
Oh, sure, I remember that.
Well, the stock collapsed and our $5,000 is gone. And now you'll never be able to buy new hats or dresses with it. Does that worry you?
It did when I first heard it.
When you first heard it?
Mm-hmm. While you were at Bill's, your stockbroker called and told me about it.
Oh, no.
Really, George, you ought to read this book. You
look
very
worried.
Give
me the book. I'm done.
George Burns' Gracie Allen program was transcribed in Hollywood. Now here are our stars.
Good night, folks.